chapter 1 tonight, Epistle of James, right there before the book, right after the book of Hebrews, in your New Testament, James chapter 1. And I want to speak tonight on in His presence to ask for wisdom. In His presence to ask for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse number 5, and our Bible says there, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Dear Father, thank you for the opportunity of prayer, for the opportunity to come into your presence. And we realize, oh Father, it is because of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood for our sin that we have access into your throne room through prayer. God, I pray that we'll take advantage of the opportunity we have as your children to come to you in all of these different situations and circumstances that we have talked about. We talked last week, Lord, about in your presence when we're backslidden. And many times I've been in that condition, and I'm sure others in this church as well. And then, Lord, tonight we're going to come into your presence to ask for wisdom. We certainly need that every day we live, even more critically at other times. I pray, God, that you'll help us now as we look into the book tonight. Speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to spend, if we don't have an hour, at least a few minutes, sometime a day in your presence. Well, thank you in Jesus' name and amen. One of the great advantages of being saved, and there are many, one of the great advantages of being saved is the resource of wisdom that is available from God. Not everybody has that, folks. You got to understand that everybody has the opportunity, I guess, to, it's out there, but the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the natural man, that's the unsaved man, that's the man who's still in the condition of being lost away from God, apart from God, born into life that way. No one's ever born into life saved. Nobody's born into life a child of God. That's an erroneous teaching. Denominational churches that teach the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. You know, because God is everybody's father, we're all brothers. The Bible does not teach that, friend. It does not teach that. The Bible teaches that men need to be born into God's family. Born into God's family. Like you were born into this physical life, but it's not a physical birth, a spiritual birth. Now, 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that the natural or unsaved man cannot discern the things of God. Cannot discern the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. So it takes being saved. For those who have the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit, the wonderful things of God can be and ought to be discerned through the Spirit. Now, that truth opens up the resource of wisdom that is available to us from God. That's one of the wonderful things of our God. He is infinite wisdom. All right? He is the source of wisdom. And now that we're saved, we have access to Him. We can go to His presence. We're part of His family. That wisdom is available to us. The resource of wisdom is available to us in His presence. Now, when we think of prayer in its elementary form, we think of asking. I said before, John Rice wrote that popular book, famous book, years ago. Prayer is asking. And he used to preach messages on that very subject. Prayer is asking. And if prayer is asking, then the answer to prayer is receiving. All right? When we think of prayer in its elementary form, we think of asking. Asking for our needs. Asking for what we need in this life. Now, we have the privilege of asking for things that we feel we need. And who of us has not gone to God in His presence to ask for things we felt we needed? And I mean for all kinds of things. I mean for physical things, tangible things, and those spiritual things as well. Who of us has not gone into His presence to ask for things? But the truth of the matter is, how many of us have felt the need for wisdom? How many of us have gone into His presence for the express purpose of getting wisdom? Now, the good news is, for any who feel the need for wisdom, there is plenty available in His presence. Plenty. I guess the biggest hurdle is actually just sensing the need. Understanding the need. We don't know as much as we'd like to think we know. So this wisdom that's available for God. Now, I want to talk about this tonight. All out of verse number 5 here. Maybe give you an illustration out of the Old Testament. And then look at verses 6 through 8 as we close in just a few minutes. Number 1, I want you to see the person in need of wisdom. The person in need of wisdom. Verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom. Now, how more plain can that be? How more plain can that be? Any of you. Does that mean teenagers? Sure. Does that mean college-age kids getting ready to, you know, start wondering about a spouse? And, Lord, is this the right one? Is this, I mean, any. If any of you lack wisdom. Anybody here lack wisdom? I do. Hey, babe, put me in that boat. If any, that's the person in need of wisdom. If any of you. Now, specifically here, in this context, the person James is speaking about is the one who is in need of wisdom because of trials. Specifically. James made several points about trials in the previous verses. Look at verse number 2. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." James says we need to be sure that we add everything up when we encounter a trial. Now, what we're tempted to do when we encounter a trial, we're tempted to focus on that and that only. That is the only thing that absorbs our attention. What James is saying here is, he's saying, count it all up. Don't focus only on the trial. Look at the whole spectrum and look at this blessing and 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 this blessing. And when you add it all up, friend, there's always going to be far more positive components in the equation than there are negatives. So the outcome is, James said, there's a reason to rejoice. Even in trials, there's a reason to rejoice. So we're supposed to do that. Look at verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I am to recognize that the trial of my faith builds patience. What's patience? I talked about this a few weeks ago. Cheerful endurance. Can I suggest to you, friend, that if our faith never undergoes a trial, we never have need of patience. It's the trials that create the need for patience. And if we handle them correctly, builds patience in us. And that's a good virtue. That's a wonderful virtue because look what verse number 4 says. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, complete, wanting nothing. Patience will work other Christian graces in us. Now see, if I learn to be patient, probably it means I've learned to control my temper. So patience is a wonderful Christian grace. And if we'll just go with the right attitude toward the trial and handle it correctly and endure it cheerfully, let patience grow in us. Patience will create other Christian virtues in us that will mature us. And that's the bottom line. God brings trials into our life to purify us and to mature us. God doesn't bring trials into us to our life to crush us, to mash us down, and just to squash us into nothing, to never be used again, to never have any usefulness again. That's not why God does. God brings those trials into our lives to mature us, to grow us. Now, in order to bear a trial patiently, and in order to allow it to grow in me so that I might be a mature Christian, patience, in order for that to happen, I need wisdom. Wisdom will cause me to know how to respond to the trials God sends my way. So you know what we want to pray for when a trial hits us? We want to pray for the removal of the trial. Isn't that what Paul did? Lord, take this away. Lord, please take this away. Lord, pretty please with an apple on top or whatever you say. Cherry on top, apple on top. Cherry on top. Pretty please. Take this away. 3 times he asked God to take it away. And finally, you know, Paul got some wisdom and he said, you know what, Lord, I don't need this thing to go. This thing's actually good for me. It keeps me humble. It keeps me dependent upon you. Lest I should glory in all the abundance of the revelations that you've given me. And Lord, it keeps me more hungry for your power. So Paul got, we want to pray for the trial to be dissipated. We want the trial to go away. And God doesn't want it to go away. God wants it to work patience in us so that the patience can develop other Christian graces. The thing I need to pray for is wisdom. So James says, okay, you're going through a trial. If any of you who are being tested, any of you who are being tried, any of you who are going through the fire, any of you whose faith is being tried and tested right now for purification purposes, for maturation purposes, if any of you lack wisdom to know how to handle that trial, that's what he's talking to here. Now, the truth of the matter is, folks, you know our faith is going to go through trial. We know that. And we can grow through those trials but we need wisdom to know how to handle it rightly. Hold your place here in James chapter 1 and get back in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Let me show you a good verse over here. Common sense verse, beautiful verse in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. James, we're talking about the person in need of wisdom. Now, I think it applies to any area of life. But specifically here, James is talking about those whose faith is being tried. If any of you lack wisdom, know how to bear it, know how to endure it, know how to handle it, know how to respond to it. If any of you lack wisdom, anybody, okay, you're able to get it. Look at chapter number 10, Ecclesiastes and verse number 10. This is so good. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. That's a common sense verse, isn't it? Again, was it Brother Baker was talking about chopping wood during the missions conference? I think it was, yeah, he was talking about Elisha and the lost axe head. That's right. And if any of you have ever chopped wood, you can chop wood with a dull axe. You can get it done. But buddy, I'm going to tell you what, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. We used to chop wood. Dad had a fireplace, and that was a good way to keep three boys busy. Amen. That's where I had a maul up against my backside when I had a bad attitude one time, and I got straightened out real quick. Amen. By my dad. Yeah. And you can chop wood with a dull edge. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says here that this guy had some wisdom. Wisdom is profitable to direct. So here a man is, he's chopping with a dull axe. If he doesn't sharpen the edge, he's going to have to work harder and harder and harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. It's wisdom. Wisdom is the ingredient that makes him stop and say, whoa, whoa, time out. This is nonsense. Go get the file, a little oil, and put an edge on that thing. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom directs the man to sharpen the edge, which is the right and profitable thing to do in order to make his work easier. Now, wisdom in the time of trial, wisdom in the time of testing will direct us to know the right and profitable way to respond to the trial. And if we'll respond to it in the right way, it will profit us. We will grow. We'll mature instead of falling and fainting. Now, I think you can apply this, friend, to all areas of life, not just trials, but specifically in this passage, the person in need of wisdom is the one going through a test. I think of old Daniel back there in Babylon. There he is with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've passed the test. They've come out 10 times better than all the Chaldean astrologers and soothsayers and sorcerers and wise men. And now Nebuchadnezzar has a dream in chapter 2, and he doesn't know what it is, so he calls for all those Babylonian wise men. Tell me the interpretation of the dream. No problem, king. What was the dream? I don't know. Tell me the dream first. I forgot the dream. We can't do that. We can't tell you what you got to tell us what the dream is. He said, no. Tell me what the dream is. I don't know it. Well, we can't tell you. Okay, then kill them all. Kill them all. Kill all the Babylonian wise men. Kill all the Hebrew wise men. So, somebody goes to Daniel's house. Says, Daniel, you got about 48 hours to live. Or less than that. What are you talking about? Well, the king had a dream. Nobody can interpret it because nobody knows what it was. He forgot it. So all the wise men got to die. Daniel goes before the king. He asks for some time. King, give me a little bit of time. And the king said, okay. He goes back to his three friends, and they get on their knees, and they begin to pray. Now, that was a test. That was a trial. And Daniel and his three friends got on their knees, and they began to pray for wisdom. Or how do we do this? How do we handle this? What was the dream? Can you help us? This is the person in need of wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, not just in the time of testing, time of trial, but in other areas of life where you lack wisdom, the person in need of wisdom, if any of you. Now, I want you to look, number 2, at the provider of wisdom. James chapter 1, verse number 5. If the provider of wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God. Daniel went to the king. He said, King Nebuchadnezzar, can I have some time? Then he went to his buddies and they prayed. And in the night, God gave Daniel wisdom and understanding. And Daniel said this in chapter 2, verse 20. He answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. That's where wisdom resides. I'm going to tell you, it certainly doesn't reside in this old boy up here in Chicago. Now, if that's all you've got to count on for wisdom, folks, we're in trouble, a heap of trouble. And here's his picture. He fits. He fits. He has an inner fish. He looks like a bluegill to me. That's what he looks like. A cast mold of the fossilized jawbones of Tiktaalik. That's the missing link fish that he discovered in 2004 in Canada, which had gills and scales, but also a neck and shoulders, arms, wrists, and fingers. Now, Tom Griffey, you ever caught a fish like that, my friend? And if you did, you'd run. It'd scare you to death. And that's what the world passes off as wisdom. We're in trouble. That's pathetic. Somebody put that under my door. Oh, no, Frank Kent handed it to me on Sunday. He was laughing about it. I laugh about it, too. No, wisdom resides with God. And that's what Daniel said. Daniel said, I hit a trial, I hit a test, and we went to God, and guess what I found out? That wisdom is with God. Wisdom and might are His. Paul carried the same theme into the New Testament, Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's deeper than you can imagine, wider than you can dream, taller, broader. It's unbelievable, friend. It's infinite. And don't forget, you have access. I have access by invitation to come into His presence. He who is the source of wisdom, the resource, the source where wisdom resides. I can go. He is the provider of wisdom. Now, much wisdom can be gleaned from the pages of our blessed Bible. And the truth of the matter is, when you pray, what usually happens, when you pray and ask for wisdom, what usually happens is God directs you to some biblical principle or truth. That's usually what happens. He reminds you about something you've been taught from the Word of God. He reminds you about something you read. He sheds light on something that maybe had darkness over it for a while. You couldn't see it. But this is the provider of wisdom. God is the one who provides. Now, I want you to notice in verse 5, I want you to notice how He provides wisdom. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Why are we without wisdom if He gives liberally? I don't think the problem is with God. The problem is with us. We try to sort it out. We get on the phone with this one and that one. And I'm not against getting counsel and help if you need it. I'm not meaning that tonight. But I'm saying, friend, the source of wisdom is God Almighty. And He gives to all men liberally. Wisdom can be had in liberal doses when it is needed. There is no reserve. When we need it, we can have all we need. Huh? All we want, really. You know, it's one of the great things about growing up and being an adult. You never had to ask anymore if you could have a Coke. As a boy, I used to always dream about the day that I wouldn't have to ask for a Coke. Mom always, we always had to share. That's awful. Sharing is awful. Especially with your brothers. Huh? Yeah. But man, when the day came when, I guess, I don't know how to forget how old I was, but I could go to the refrigerator and get a Coke or two or three. Huh? And that's what it is with the wisdom. Liberally. Liberally. God said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, liberally. So he gives liberally, without reserve, all you need. And then he said this, and upbraideth not. That word upbraid means without reprimand. Did you ever need some kind of help from someone and you had to get the help, but you knew what you were going to have to go through to get it? You know, some people can help, and they will help, but they enjoy making you squirm while they're helping you. In fact, in some places, some people are so harsh about their help, we decide it's not worth the trouble. It's just not worth the trouble to even ask. Because if I ask, they have the resources to help me, but if I ask, I'm just going to get a scolding. I got good news. That book right there says God never scolds. He never reprimands. Well, didn't you learn that 6 months ago? I thought I helped you with this. What's a... He upbraideth not. No, it's never that way with God, without reprimand. He is ready to impart wisdom without reprimand, without scolding, even when wisdom is needed because of past mistakes, because of misconduct, whatever. God is never harsh. If we have repented and we are sincerely seeking wisdom, Lord, to get started again in the right way, God will not scold us. He will not make us, okay, but let me tell you, no. Because He upbraideth not. He gives wisdom without reprimand. So He is the provider of wisdom. He gives it liberally and He gives it without reprimand. Now I want you to look, number three, at the promise of wisdom in the same verse, the last phrase. And it shall be given him. Now, when you get to talk to somebody about salvation and you get over to Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know what you do, but I like to say, does it say maybe? No. Does it say might be? No. Does it say hope to be? No. What does it say? Shall be. What is that? That's a promise. I believe that's the same word that the Bible uses right here. It shall be given him. It shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom, particularly in the area of how to react or handle a trial, a test. And then go beyond that to other reasons. If you ask wisdom, come to the provider of wisdom. He is liberal with His wisdom. He will not reprimand you for asking. You don't have to feel ashamed for coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. And it shall be given him. Now, that's the wonderful point. The person in need of wisdom, the provider of wisdom, and the promise of wisdom. Verses 6 through 9, though, last point, the prevention of wisdom. Look at verse number 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There is one thing that will prevent God from handing out wisdom when we need it, and that is insincerity. Insincerity. James said the person who does not ask in faith should not think that he will receive even a tidbit of wisdom from God, much less a liberal dosage. Now, what does it mean to ask in faith? Well, that means to ask with great confidence. And I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I have faith, I believe I have faith, I have faith. No. Faith is obedience in spite of the circumstances. So when we go to God and say, Lord, I need faith, not wisdom. I need wisdom. We better be ready to do whatever it is that He tells us to do. God said, don't come to me and ask me for wisdom if you don't intend to follow through. Because if you're not going to follow through, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Maybe that's why we don't get it. Maybe our minds are so made up and our hearts are so hard. We get on our knees and we go to God into His presence and begin to ask Him for wisdom. And He reminds us of Bible principles. For instance, dear Father, I don't know how I'm going to do this. All this extra stuff that's happened, the car, the sickness, and Lord, it's a short month and the pay is going to run out. And I don't know how I'm going to go. Lord, can you help me know how to arrange all this? And God reminds you that the best insurance in the world is tithing. No, I'm not going to tithe, Lord. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You got to ask in faith. Faith is obeying in spite of the circumstances. And when we go to God, and it's not just tithing. It's anything. Dear Father, help me, please. My relative is lost. And I would like to know, I'd like to have all the wisdom I can to know how to witness to my relative. Do I write him a letter? Do I send him a tract? Do I go see him? Lord, what can I say, God, that'll help me win them to Christ? And God says, how about your neighbor? When's the last time you passed a tract at the gas station or something? No, Lord, I'm not talking about that. This is what he's talking about here, folks. We have to ask in faith. When we ask in faith, that means we ask with the intention to exercise obedience. Lord, whatever it is you lay on my heart to begin to help me in the area where I need wisdom, that's what I intend to do. And that's exactly what he says here. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Lord, here's what I need. I need wisdom. You know, folks, that is the most successful counseling session that a pastor can have. Is when somebody finally comes in and says, okay, here it is. Whatever you tell me to do is what I'm going to do. Not that a pastor needs control, but so many times we come in for counsel and we get counsel and advice and, I know that might work for others, but it won't work for me. And it's kind of like, okay. But buddy, when they get to the end of their rope and they say, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Then I feel like I've got some opportunity to help. And I think that's a little bit how the Lord feels. When we come to Him and say, Lord, I need wisdom. God says, well, are you certain you're going, okay, here's what you need to do. Oh, no, Lord. That may work for others, but it don't work for me. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. That's the prevention of wisdom. Folks, if God's going to give us wisdom, what do you think He wants us to do with it? Use it? Obey? Okay, Lord. If that's what will work, that's what I'll do. That's faith. Faith is obedience in spite of the circumstances. And when we pray with that kind of faith in need of wisdom, the Bible says, it shall be given him. It shall be given him. The person in need of wisdom, the provider of wisdom, the promise of wisdom, and the prevention of wisdom. Man, what a blessed privilege that we can go into His presence and say, Lord, I need some help. I need some wisdom. When we do, let's go with the attitude, whatever you tell me, whatever you lead me from your word to do, is what I'm going to do. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Very simple lesson in His presence to ask for wisdom. Dear Father, please help us to obey your word. We have such a battle with this. We battle this, Lord, so many ways. Our old carnal fleshly nature just raises its old ugly head up, gets in the way of so much of what should be done for Christ. Help us, God, please. Thank you that you give wisdom. And thank you for those, Lord, those of us who will go to you and sincerely in faith ask for it. You said it would be given liberally without reprimand. Here, take this and use it. God, give us wisdom, please, when we need it. Help us to come into your presence for that purpose, in Jesus' name. Let's stand. Please, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, I would invite you to come to Christ and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. That's the first step. That's the wisest thing you can do. And then the gates of wisdom will be open to you. Ladies, play us a song. teach us from it tonight. May we spend some time tomorrow, the time that we have in your presence, for whatever reason, Lord, for the reasons we've talked about these last few weeks or reasons we haven't. It is valuable time spent with you. Lord, we need wisdom. Help us to get it and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, very good. Thank you for listening tonight. Here we go.